Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe, specifically part 5, episode 145, season 2, Genesis 1 through 9. We're hammering this one home. Amen. Genesis 12 is just rich with details about this character, Abram, who becomes Abraham. We're learning all about him here in this fascinating passage of scripture. And we're seeing that it was by faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. That's Hebrews 11, verse 8. He obeyed. And that's what Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9, it's the crux of it, isn't it? This individual's obeying God, and they're traveling on as God calls them to do. Think about this from God's perspective for a minute. God knows that Abram will become Abraham, Sarai will become Sarah, that they will, you know, try on their own to do things their way with the bondservant Hagar and have Ishmael, which is not the chosen child. And then they're going to then finally be given Isaac through God's miraculous work at a very old age. And then through Isaac comes Jacob and Esau. And we understand Esau is no good. But Jacob is very good, even though he is shifty and so forth in the early parts of his life. He ends up seeing the Lord. And when he sees the Lord, he realizes just how sinful he had been. And he trusts the Lord. He never forgets the Lord. And through him comes the 12 tribes of Israel. And through the 12 tribes of Israel, we have the Israelites, the Jews. We have an eternal group. We have the disciples ruling over the 12 tribes in heaven. The Bible says, Jesus Christ himself says, there'll be the 12 gates in heaven. There is an eternal thing at play here. And look who God's using, a very interesting individual, not one that you might assume he would use and not a place that you would assume it would be and not a direct route that you would assume it would be, because truly, I mean, I'm not a geographer by any means, but if you look at Babylon and you look at the route, which would be modern day Iraq, I think 55 some miles from Baghdad, if you look at the route to Haran and then over then to Jerusalem, I wonder if there wasn't a easier way to go. And I'm looking at modern day roads on the map. Again, this is just incredible to study, to like, we can still look at the same map. You know, there was a video on YouTube the other day of the Sea of Galilee. And I was showing my kids, I was like, that's the Sea of Galilee. You know, that's from the Bible. Right. And they're like, really? Whoa. You know, but it's incredible. You can look up Baghdad on Google Maps, you know, Google Earth, and you can look at the routes, you know, whatever road might be there, that they might be able to take. And there is one there. Looks like the number one is on it. I don't know if it's route one, but it goes kind of splits across. It might've been a more direct route. Either way, there's this circuitous route that Abraham, who's Abram at the time, has to take to go there to Haran, where he then leaves his dad, his family, takes his substance, his nephew Lot, his wife, his servants, and goes on to the promised land, all by faith. Incredible. And we're going to look more at this idea of walking by faith when we return from this break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
This is getting to a deeper message, and here's kind of the faith application for you. When you suffer at the response of God's call on your life, you're blessed for suffering. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. The idea is, did Abram suffer? Absolutely. Was it hard for him to leave his family? Absolutely. Was it a difficult journey? Absolutely. How about at 75 years old? I'm 44. I don't think I'd want to make that journey on my own right now. It's estimated it took well over 100 days to travel from Haran to the Canaan land because there was cattle and servants, etc. You're not moving fast. Amen. You're moving quite slow. You have obstacles. You could have perils, traps, snares, both, in nature as well from man. And yet he does it. Amen. By faith. He suffered. He suffered. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We are to rejoice in being a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Have you ever thought about this? Christian means to be Christ-like. And if we just simply look at the earthly ministry of Christ, was Christ living fat and happy? Was he living easy life? Was he living conveniently? No, he himself said, I came to serve and not to be served. And that we should then take that example. He washed the feet of the disciples. Washing the feet of people at that time was a very low task. That would be for the lowest in the house to do. Because back then, they're wearing sandals, they're barefoot, whatever it may be. You're not dealing with paved roads and sidewalks. You might have some stones here and there, but it's dirty. And so washing the feet of the disciples was a servant's job. And by him doing that, he was showing this is how we are to live. And yet the world tells us that we should be served, that we should elevate ourselves so that we can live easy, right? I mean, think about what brings out the worst in people. I don't know about you. The thing that comes to mind first for me might be air travel, traffic jams, long lines, really hot weather, very cold weather, public transportation in general. I mean, I always would refer, growing up in New York, I was always referred to seeing these epic New York moments, quote unquote, like air quotes, because there would be people just melting down on the subway, melting down on the Amtrak, melting down on the bus, whatever. It was just so stressful. And I mean people, like everyday people, because, it wasn't like someone that was just having a horrible day. It's just so stressful in these times. Well, think about it. At the heart of that, we desire some kind of comfort, right? And yet we have to have faith. And in order for us to have faith, we have to believe that our reward is not here, but there. Why did Christ suffer so much? He was looking at the joy that was set before him. Amen. To endure all that he had to endure. When we see Christ at his appearing, those that have chosen to suffer with him here on earth will be the most overjoyed. Amen. Those that have dealt with shame and separation from family and friends and heartache and pain. I heard about a lady the other day that really could use some money and decided to serve the Lord in a hospital setting as a volunteer instead because she believed the Lord was calling her to do it. She said, I'm living by faith. Well, that's exactly correct. Oftentimes when the Lord's calling you to do something, it won't be profitable to you on the outside as you look at it, right? It will be challenging. It'll be a burden oftentimes, amen? What has your full attention today? What comes first on your list? Who is your Lord and Master, amen? Again, our human nature is to defer maybe these more heavy theological things and take up these light and fun things that we think will then bring us joy and peace, and then we get confused when it doesn't. How about this? Did God need Abram? I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't need Abram. He didn't need Abraham. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Christ does not need us. We need him. Luke 17, 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that's Jesus speaking here in Luke 17, 7 through 10. What are we learning? That we should just go with what God calls us to do as our reasonable service. You know, we should just take up our cross as our reasonable service. We shouldn't think we're someone special for simply doing what God called us to do, what God commanded us to do, what God engineered us to do. God gave you a great voice, and you decide to sing and make money. Okay? And then when someone says, can you sing in the choir? You say, I don't have time. All right? And then let's say one day you say, fine, I make time. And then all of a sudden, your gigs are getting canceled, your money's not coming in, and you're like, well, God must really owe me. No, God made you. No, that vocal cord came from God, right? That melody, that rhythm, that natural talent, what does the world call it? God-given gifts? Even the world can identify what a God-given gift is, amen? Job 22:2, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? God doesn't need us. Christ did his duty, and now it's our turn to do ours. We are called to work now for Christ as humble servants, realizing that God is not in debt to us. We're in debt to him. You know, the Bible calls us bond slaves of Christ. And nothing we can do changes that equation. So when you look at someone like Abram, he's called by God, and he's celebrated by man and God. He's given great mention or real estate in the Bible for this reason. But he's simply doing what God's calling him to do. And this is the crux of another deep theological truth, that obedience is greater than sacrifice. Amen. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And we have here that exact text in 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that would be the fat of rams, maybe a great sacrifice. And here, Prophet Samuel is telling us it's better to just be obedient. And this was a truth in the Old Testament. It's a truth in the New Testament. Christ was obedient unto death. Amen. Paul was obedient through great many afflictions. Amen. Today, maybe you know someone that just looks worn down and worn out. Maybe you're worn out. Maybe temptation has been beating at your door too long and you're just tired of it. Amen. Guess what? That is obedience, and God is able and willing to carry you through another day if you'll simply seek him. And godly obedience, the fruit of godly obedience, what is it? Humility. When you're obedient to God, you're going to be humble because you're going to realize your place. That's true humility. And what does the Bible say about the humble? That God raises up the low and he'll throw down the proud. And I'm paraphrasing, but there's many scriptures that state that exact thing. God hates a proud look. And oh, how he'll raise up a humble person. And look at the character profile of Abram. He was so humble, amen. He was humble beyond means. Moses, I believe God calls him the meekest man to ever live. Amen. This is John the Baptist. I'm just thinking about, I mean, there's so many, but John the Baptist, right? He says he's not even worthy of unloosing the shoe of Christ. Amen. On and on. Mary, you know, when she discovers what's going on with this miraculous pregnancy, she is so humble. She's, I'm your handmaid, Lord. I'm at your service. Great is your name. Everyone will know who you are. So obedience is greater than sacrifice. Abram walked by faith and was able to do great things for God by God working through him. We should be obedient, more so than trying to make some big splash, just going day by day, seeking the Lord and trusting him, knowing that he is conforming us, molding us as the clay, him being the potter, into the image of his son. And that as we're obedient and we walk by faith, not knowing maybe where we're going, amen, certainly not seeing the actual thing that we have faith in just yet, but trusting God, we will be blessed beyond measure, and we'll be blessed here in this life for trusting God, and we'll be blessed in eternity forever with gifts, rewards that will never rot, will never fade away, will never rust, will never corrupt. That is a lesson we can take from Genesis 12. Tune in next time as we get deeper into this text. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.